Praise the Lord. So good to see all of you tonight and all of you who are watching by Facebook. We are glad to have you tonight, and we just invite you to join in for what God has for you. I'm Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock at Oasis Christian Center. And before we turn it over to our speaker tonight, we just want to encourage you to send in comments through this service tonight, if you will. We'd love to hear from you. And also, we'd ask you to share the service tonight with someone, if you will. That would be a great blessing to us. And, you know, we are wanting to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think this is a more important day than we've ever been in to spread the gospel. I don't believe we have a whole lot of time left, but only the Lord knows that. But we do want to reach people, and I know that by sharing the services, that will be one. That is one way to reach other people with the gospel, and we would just appreciate y'all doing that so much. And do you have anything to add, Pastor? Okay. At this time, we're going to ask Patty Richard if she'll come up. She's going to be sharing the word tonight. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, pastors. Amazing what I'm speaking on tonight, because it seems like that's what's coming against me. So we can just laugh and make fun of the enemy. That's what he does to us. Amen. So if we'll just bow our heads for a moment. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, I just ask that you use me for your glory, God. Help me say something that touches a heart tonight. And Lord, if there's anyone out there listening and they are dealing with this spirit of fear, I'm asking you to help me relay this message in such a way that it will calm fears and they must subside in Jesus' name. Help me say what you want me to say and leave off what I don't need to say. And I thank you for doing that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, we are speaking against the spirit of fear tonight. And I'll be reading a lot, so I won't be looking at the camera as much as I probably need to. That's my excuse. All right. The Bible tells us in clear language what we should fear and what we should not fear. There are two forms of fear. One is beneficial, and the other is harmful or baneful. That's the word that I saw. And I know the common word is harmful, but baneful, I'm going to define it for you a little while later. And one form of beneficial fear is the innate fear that we are equipped with when we're born. It serves as an alarm system. It warns us of impending danger. When you sense this, you can prepare for appropriate action, which would be fight or flight or freeze. Okay, and even this type of fear, God puts it in us so we can be warned, okay? And this is an asset. The fear of God is our most important asset. It involves respecting and honoring others and authoritative figures, like our pastors or teachers or my praise and worship team who God give me, who are so blessed and talented and loving. And I should honor them, and I do. And if we put God first, being Him being first and foremost, and respect others, that's what we need to do, even when they don't seem to our mind that they deserve it, because we've done nothing to deserve God's love. And yet He has loved us despite of our wrong ways. In reverence to God, we know that He has no evil in Him, only good. What the enemy means for evil, God will turn it around for good. And I'm going to be giving you a lot of scriptures tonight. In Deuteronomy 10 and 20 in the Amplified, this is what the word says. You shall fear and worship the Lord your God with all filial reverence and profound respect. You shall serve Him and cling to Him. And in parentheses it says, hold tightly to Him and be united with Him. And you shall swear oaths by His name. And that's reverencing the Lord. And in 2 Kings 17 and 39, it tells us, but the Lord your God, Him you shall fear, and He shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. When you're reverencing God and acknowledging Him, regarding Him, He does take care of us. Amen. I heard something on YouTube about this man speaking, and the Lord showed him some people. Actually had a vision of hell, and he saw some people, and the Lord spoke to the man, and he said, they had no regard for me. So we need to regard the Lord God. This is from the Living Bible, Job 5, 8 through 25, and it starts with verse 8. My advice to you is go to God and confess your sins to him. For he does wonderful miracles, marvels without number. He sends a rain upon the earth to water the fields and gives prosperity to the poor and humble. And he takes those who suffer to safety. He frustrates the plans of crafty men. They are caught in their own ways, and he thwarts their schemes. They grope like blind men in daylight, and they see no better in the daytime than they do at night. God saves the fatherless and the poor from the grasp of these oppressors. So at last, the poor have hope, and the fangs of the wicked are broken. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you something that happened to me. And I would say it scared me. It caught me off guard. But it was so funny, and I've told nobody about this. You know we live almost in the woods, and we have a lot of snakes. Now, I used to be a lot more afraid of them than I am now, and I'm just more cautious now, okay? But I was out walking in the yard, and I was looking at some boards that we had stacked up, and I heard something, and I turned, and here comes a frog hopping right toward me. And because the frog was hopping toward me, here comes a snake right behind him. And he's chasing this frog, and this snake is moving as fast as he can. But now I'm thinking, boy, this frog's headed to me, so the snake's headed to me. Now this was actually funny because when I think back on it, it almost looked like a cartoon because the old silly snake, the way he was wobbling around, and he was just scooting. And I had a stick in my hand or right beside me, so what I did is I just put that stick down, and when I did, frog goes on by me, gets under safety under the shed. Snake turns around and heads the other direction. Now, that's what I thought of when I saw this word about the fangs. But God will break the fangs of the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
And let's see, I got lost in my place. Oh, how enviable the man who God corrects. Oh, do not despise the chastening of the Lord when you sin. For though he wounds, he binds and heals again. He will deliver you again and again, and no evil can touch you. He will keep you from death and famine and from the power of the sword in time of war. You'll be safe from slander. No need to fear the future. And I love this. This is verse 22. You shall laugh at war and famine, while animals will leave you alone. Dangerous animals will be at peace with you. You need not worry about your home when you're gone. Nothing shall be stolen from your barns, and your sons shall become important men, and your descendants shall be as numerous as the grass. And we just keep having grandchildren, y'all. We got another one on the way now. But let me tell you, when I raised my children practically on my own, and you know when you get older and your children are grown, you think about how you could have handled this differently and that differently. And things bothered me at different times, but I've had a lot of compliments on the way my sons respect different people. They've actually come to me and said, your son is so respectful of adults and things, which were now they're grown. But one of them that I really was concerned about, and I thought, well, Lord, he's going on 30-something years old, and he's still not in the church and being used. Well, he is being used. I had to have that lightning quick revelation that he became a teacher. It took a lot of hard work to do that. But he loves kids, and he is a good teacher. In fact, the dean of the school and the teachers love him, and even also the president. And I thought about it one day. I said, yeah, kids need good people to teach them. So he is ministering, and he does care for the kids. And my oldest, he's always trying to take care of other people's children and everything else. So I am blessed. I do see where God is moving. And I see we're able to talk about Derek's oldest son, about the Lord. You know, we don't throw a whole lot out there, but he hears what we say. And it's just a difference in things. I see that God is doing things even when my mind would tell me he's not. Because the devil will lie to you and he'll confuse your mind. But God's got this. He's got you and he's got everything. So we have no need to fear. Amen? And let's see. One of the things I want to tell you about, Matthew 16, 18, and 19, we are to exercise our authority that God has given us. And in those scriptures, Jesus was speaking. He said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And so this is one thing that we have to do as children of God. God's not going to do it for us. He already did everything. But he gave us the keys. And the biggest key is his word. We read that word and it tells us what to do. Now it's up to us to do it. Amen? So when something comes against me, and it has been off and on, which I'm sure it has with you too. You're born again, so. But I have to say, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You're a liar, and I don't receive this. And you just have to use the word. That's what Jesus did. He would speak the scriptures. When the enemy tempted him, when he was fasted for 40 days and Satan come against him, every time Satan would try to get him to do something, he would turn it around on the enemy and he said, the word says. And so what do? We say, the word says. And then you quote the scripture the best you can. I know Pastor Sharon told us a story one time about a woman where a man was coming after her and she could not remember the scripture, but she had one word out of Psalms 91, and it was about the feathers. You know, the word says he'll cover us with his feathers, and under his wings we shall take refuge. Well, this woman couldn't remember anything but the word feathers, and I mean, she was using it too. She was saying, feathers, feathers. Well, I'm sure the guy probably thought she's insane. Maybe I don't need to mess with her, but the Lord literally scared that man off, and he didn't bother her. If I remember correctly, there was an angel involved in this. But anyway, that was the word. Even one word from God's word will break the enemy's back. Ooh, I love it. Okay, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him and worship him with awe-inspired reverence and obedience, on those who hope confidently in his compassion and loving kindness to rescue their lives from death and keep them alive in famine. Okay. A few months ago, you probably went to the store and had a hard time getting your toilet paper or your paper towels and maybe some of your food. But everybody in here looks like they've been eating, and I don't see anybody that's fed. I see Bean raising his hand. Praise the Lord. We are kept safe. We have what we have to have. We might have not had everything we wanted, but we had our food. And we had our lights stay on and all those things that are the most important. So who do you think did that? God Almighty. We have no need to fear. For in him we wait for the Lord expectantly. He is our help and our shield. For in him our heart rejoices because we trust in, lean on, and rely confidently in his holy name. And, okay, this is how we reverence the Lord. Okay, but he also mentioned being honorable of other people, reverencing them. So this is what the Bible says about that. 1 Chronicles 16:22. Don't harm my chosen people, he declared. These are my prophets. Touch them not. Okay, God wasn't playing when he said this. This is from the Living Bible. And another one, it says, 1 John 4:21. The real proof of our love for God must always be in how we express love and treat others with dignity, respect, and esteeming them in love. Pastor has told us to use that scripture for the praise team, that we esteem others more highly than ourselves. And that was what he was trying to instill in us so that we would obey God's word and we could be more viable in God's hands. Okay. The secret of the wise, I love this scripture. This is Psalms 25:14 from the Amplified. The secret of the wise counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will let them know his covenant and reveal to them through his word its deep inner meaning. And the same scripture in the Passion Translation, there's a private place reserved for the lovers of God. Woo, don't you like that? Where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. If we're focused on God and we're praying and doing what we're supposed to do, there is a place, and I believe Psalms calls it the secret place, but this right here says a private place reserved just for us. Hallelujah. And I've got some scriptures here on the love of God, and I'm hoping this is the one that... Okay, it's not it, but it's still good. It starts in 1 John and 4, but I'm going to skip down to verse 7. Those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another. In other words, if we love God and he loves us, we're an expression of his love. Because God is love. Everyone whose love is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him, they are the ones that God is looking out for. I mean, he looks out for all of us. Just be honest with yourself. I mean, you used to didn't live for God, but here you are. So he's always looking out for us. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we may fearlessly... Somebody say fearlessly.
Fearlessly.
Say, I'm fearless.
I'm fearless.
I fearlessly face the day of judgment, because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection, I feel the Spirit of the Lord, love's perfection drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. Our love is for others, and it is our grateful response to the love of God that he first demonstrated to us. Anyone can say, I love God, yet have hatred towards someone else, a believer or someone who's not a believer. This makes him a phony. Because if you don't love a brother or sister whom you can see, how can you truly love God whom you can't see? For he's given us this command: whoever loves God must also demonstrate love to others. And I thank God that here I receive that love from everyone. I don't have anyone in this house of God, no matter who's been gathering, that I feel like does not care for me. I see love demonstrated in this place. And I know I keep talking about the fear of the Lord and respecting others and all this and God's love, but I'm getting to some other stuff in just a minute here. From the Living Bible, 1 John 4:16-18. We know how much God loves us because we felt his love and because we believe him when he tells us that he loves us dearly. God is love, and anyone who lives in love is living with God and God in him. And we live with Christ, our love, as we live with Christ, our love grows more perfect and complete. Is anybody in here perfect? If you are, I would love to see your hand, and later I'll shake it. Okay, I see no hands lifted. Okay, and you don't see my hands lifted because I'm far from perfect. But God is perfect, and he's working his perfect work in us. Okay, that so we will not be ashamed and embarrassed at the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence and joy that he loves us and we love him too. We need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. This is a scripture that really touched my heart. I think it was last night when I read it. And it's from the Living Bible. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us. and shows us that we're not fully convinced that he really loves us. Okay, I had to let that sink in because I know at times I do have fear. Different things, dreads and things come against me. But that didn't make me feel bad. It made me know that, hey, God's working in me, and I need to become more convinced of God's love. So that in itself gives me peace. Amen? Does that make sense to anybody? If you have fear, just know this, you're not perfected yet. And we probably won't be even close to being perfected till we get to heaven and our whole being is changed. But here on earth, we press toward that mark. Amen? So we need to be fully convinced, and I'm learning and growing, that God does love us. And I'll tell you a little side journey about me. Some of you have heard this because I share stuff with praise team sometimes and others as well. But when I was growing up and I was very young, my grandmother raised me. And, of course, at her age, she was probably in her 60s before she got me. So growing up, I'm looking at other children and seeing their young parents, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, boy, she's old, you know. And she really was to be raising a child. And the enemy put fear on me. And I tell you, that fear stuck with me. But it's having to go because I'm seeing some things. But I had this terrible dread with me. I would go to sleep, and as a child, I would cry myself to sleep, thinking, oh, she might be dead in the morning. She may not make it through the night. And this happened night after night. I can't say every night I went to sleep that was there, but it was, oh, I would say the majority of my childhood. I would cry myself to sleep worrying. Now, that is not a way for anybody to grow up. It was not of God. The devil is a liar, and he lied. But she didn't. She lived to be 93 years old. I was about 33 when she died. So she was with me, or I was able to see her all those years. So God kept her. It was the devil lying. I had no reason to fear. So that's a little side journey there. Now we're going to talk about the harmful type of fear. Now in talking about fear, the bad kind, Webster calls it baneful. That word is defined as a deficit. How many know what deficit means? If you write a check for $100, but you got 10 in the bank, you have a serious deficit. It's debilitating. It disorganizes, demoralizes, and destroys. To me, it's paralyzing. Okay? Another part of this says, full of venom or harm, destructive, ruinous. And you know the scripture, Satan always comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Okay? So all that's from him. Now, we've been reading and talking about all these scriptures about God's love for us. But now we're focusing on the wrong thing. I mean, how the devil works. This is how he works, and he uses fear as a weapon against us. But God is going to show us tonight, and he's been trying to show me for years, how to fight this spirit of fear. Amen? Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And that reminds me of a sermon that Pastor Rock was telling us about one time. Now, Kenneth Hagin, we all know he was a great man of God and he was serving God. But he had a spirit of fear come on him one time. He was in a motel room and he looked over in the corner and saw this dark figure. And so he didn't get up. He just started praying and coming against it. And I don't know what all scriptures he used. He probably said, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Well, nothing happened. Nothing changed. And he said all night that thing stayed right there. And when he got up in the morning, he saw that it was a coat hanging over a rack. So it was a spirit of fear, but there was nothing to be afraid of, okay? But now the wicked flee when no one pursues them. And we have little episodes when we get afraid for really no reason at all. Proverbs 10:24. What the wicked fears will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted to him. And we know 2 Timothy 1 and 7, we say it all the time, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Now, Proverbs 29:25 in the Passion says, fear and intimidation is a trap that holds you back. But when you place your confidence in the Lord, you will be seated in the high place. I like the sound of that. When I think of high place, I think of God. I think of God. And so the closer I can get to the high place, the happier I am. Deuteronomy 20, verse 8. Now, I got three translations on this, and I like all of them. And this is when Moses was gathering some army to fight against the enemy. And he said, and I don't know if he said it or whoever he had stationed over the people, and now is anyone afraid? If you are, go home before you frighten the rest of us. Okay, Deuteronomy 28 in the International, New International Version. Then the officer shall add, is anyone afraid or faint-hearted? Let him go home so that his fellow soldiers will not also become disheartened. Okay? Sounds like that we can, that fear can transfer from one to another. Okay? This is the King James Version, my favorite in this particular scripture. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return into his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. So, it reminds me of what Pastor said to us before about don't get around people that are continuously speaking negative. I mean, you're going to have to be with people sometimes, but if you don't have to, just avoid it, you know. I'll tell you this little joke that I was trying to find one joke that was good to give y'all, and it was about, I said, give me a Christian joke about fear. And this is what I got from Google. For you who are afraid of elevators, make sure you avoid them and take the steps. You can laugh whenever it hits you. Anyway, that's all I could get from that joke. Anyway, so we have to avoid sometimes people that are constantly bashing others, or if they're fearful, they're so fearful that we start thinking like that. And so we got to use common sense. There were four men in Kings 7:3-7 that had leprosy. And there was a famine going on in the land. And at the entrance of the city gate, they said to one another, why should we stay here till we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine's there, and we'll die. If we stay here, we'll die. So let's just go over to the camp of the Armenians, whatever, and surrender. If they spare us, we'll live. If they kill us, then we die. And you remember I told you earlier, the wicked are running from things that aren't even there. Okay, now listen to this. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp. They reached the edge of the camp, and no one was there. For the Lord had caused them to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. Okay, nothing really happened. They just heard God making a sound. So these lepers go in there and they start plundering. And there is so many goods that they are able to gather enough food for themselves. And they got to thinking about it. They said, well, we need to tell them back at the camp so they'll know. And so the people didn't have to suffer from this famine because the wicked had left all their goods and God's people gathered it up. Okay. And I know I'm turning a lot of pages here, but just stand with me. So, I've got eight ways here for you to stand against fear. First of all, remember what Proverbs 18:21 says. You have the power of life and death in your tongue. So what are you saying? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, Ephesians 4 and 23. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, Ephesians 4 and 29. Put on the whole armor of God. That's Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And we know we put on the helmet of salvation. It covers our head and the way we think. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. It covers our organs and the uppermost portion of our body. We gird our loins about with truth by praying and reading and singing and studying the Word. And we shod our feet with a preparational gospel piece. We're studying the Word. We're going to church. We're doing our part. And we take a shield of faith and we quench the fiery darts of the wicked. When he comes against us, what do? We speak the Word. We speak the Word. Fear is a fiery dart. And if we don't take authority over it when it starts, it could get the best of us. Okay? But God's given us some tools here to use. And then we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And somebody told me one time, I listened to a sermon, and they said, when the enemy comes against you, I want to walk away, but I can't. You take that sword, and you just ram it in the enemy's face. I speak the Word. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. The Word of God says in Matthew 6, 18 and verse 19, that whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. I have the keys because God gave them to me. And we just use the scriptures like that. He's not going to stick around very long. He may come back to torment for a little bit, but you know that's another scripture, and I didn't look it up, but it says, fear hath torment. And that's what happened to me as a child. I was tormented over my grandmother passing away, even though she lived long into her years. Use the authority. He gave you the keys. Speak the Word like Jesus did when he was tempted. And pursue peace, Hebrews 12 and 14. If we pursue after peace and do these things, God will help us. Now I'm going to give you a scenario that happened to me. This is the craziest thing, but it just shows you how the devil would work. Pastor Sharon called me and asked me to speak on this teaching on standing against fear. So I was thinking, it's kind of short notice, but I feel like I need to do that. So I said, yes, I'll do that. And so I don't remember what day it was, but it was probably the same day. I was going to eat, and the doctors had diagnosed me with a hiatal hernia, which causes different little things, and, you know, acid reflux and just stupid devil stuff that I hate him and I'm healed. I'm claiming my healing. Okay, but I started eating, and no sooner than I had taken this assignment and tried to eat some food, my body was attacked. And so I'm sitting there and I'm doing the things that I normally do to counteract this, which a lot of times if you just drink some water, it'll help the situation. But then I started hiccuping and I couldn't stop. It was crazy. I'm trying to drink water and I'm hiccuping and I'm just starting to feel this in my chest, and it kept on until I felt a lot of pressure in my chest. And I was praying, you know, and I just kept fighting it, but it kept on and on and on until I started thinking, okay, I must be having a heart attack. This is the truth, y'all. I'm not playing. I thought I was having a heart attack. And I really wasn't, I couldn't say that I didn't think, well, I know for a fact I'm having a heart attack. I just wasn't sure. And I'm thinking, well, do I stay here and this is going on, or do I do something now because this is getting really intense? And I called Derek and I hung up the phone, and this is no joke. This is how the spirit of fear works. Soon as I hung up the phone, it was like a whoosh of air left me, and it left. It was a spirit. I was not having a heart attack. The spirit of fear came on me, and I didn't even realize what it was. So I thought it was a physical thing, but it was spiritual. It was the spirit of fear, and he's a liar. And if he comes against you, you take the Word of God and you fight him off, because you've got the victory. Jesus said, in this world we will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So that is my thoughts to you tonight on the spirit of fear. You don't have to let it be overcome by fear. You overcome fear with the word of God. Amen? Amen. So be blessed.
Praise the Lord. That was a wonderful word, Patty. Thank you so much for that. That was awesome. Something we can really take home with us and use. Amen.
Amen.
I know you were blessed by this tonight also. And we just want to give you the opportunity before we close the service out tonight. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we'd like to give you the opportunity to invite him into your heart tonight. So if you'll just bow your heads with us and pray, please. Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins.
I ask you to come into my heart.
Be my Lord and Savior.
Be my Lord and Savior.
And I thank you for it, Father God.
And I thank you for it, Father God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you pray that prayer with us tonight, you are born again. Amen. And we just rejoice with you tonight. You have made a great decision, the best decision you'll ever make in your life. But we'd like to hear from you. If you would, just send us a comment and share with us what the Lord has done for you tonight. And I think that's all we have.
Amen.
So we'll call Ashley up at this time.